Hey, y'all. I'm going to take a look here in Luke chapter 8, continuing on with Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower. We'll start in 8 and 9. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." So, remember, just before this, Jesus has told the parable of the sower, and he did it in such a way. It was a rather abrupt statement. He just told it, and then he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And we get the impression he just walked off. And everyone was confused, including the disciples, and so they ask for an explanation. And Jesus makes it clear that he's using parables because he's beginning to get resistance. He's beginning to, well, not beginning, but the resistance is mounting. And Jesus is essentially saying, look, I am not going to be helpful to those who are resisting me. I am not going to smooth the way for the Pharisees and others who are resisting me to try to understand. I've given them a chance, and now I'm only going to do parables with them because they don't want to hear. I am not going to help them hear. And then he says that I will explain everything to you guys because you want to hear. So I think what's key is that the disciples are those who have left everything to follow Jesus. They're the ones who have said, we want to be his disciples. We want to learn from him, and we want to be open to him. They don't always get it right, but they hang on. Whereas Jesus' mounting opponents claim to be on God's side, but they continually resist him. And so Jesus says, look, I'm just giving them over to their resistance, and I'm not going to smooth the way for them anymore. He then goes on to give a very explicit blow-by-blow description of the parable, an explanation of the parable. And notice, we don't have to wonder what the different components mean, because he tells us what each part means. He says the seed is his message. It's the word of God. We could say it's him, but it's also what he says about himself and about the kingdom of God. This is what he teaches, and it's what the church is later to teach. He says that the seed sown on the path are those who hear, but it just doesn't get their attention because Satan steals it out of their hearts, he says. Those that fall on rocky soil are those that spring up, but hardship because of the teaching comes inevitably, and they just can't handle it, and they shrivel. Those that fall among the thorns are those that grow, but Jesus specifies that cares or anxieties, riches, and pleasure keep them from responding positively and bearing mature fruit. And finally, he says that those among whom are the good soil are those, and this phrase is very important, and Luke highlights it, those who take the teaching and hold it fast in a good and honest heart. And I think this is the key that Luke wants to underline, that Jesus is teaching them about how to bear fruit. He says they are the ones who receive the word and don't just, well, that's really good, that's really exciting, wasn't that a great sermon? but they take it into the center of who they are. They take it into the heart, which in the scripture is not sort of your emotional home base, but it's more the home base of your will and where you decide what you'll set your attention and your affection on. And Jesus says they're the ones who choose to set their attention and their affection on the things that Jesus teaches. And because they hold on to it, and I think that's key, they don't just respond in a flash, but they continue to give attention and affection to it. The soil of their heart produces the things Jesus intends for the word to produce. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, he said that good people out of the goodness of their heart bring forth good things, and evil people out of the evil of their heart bring forth evil things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so really what Jesus is saying is, if you want to hear, if you want to listen to the word of God, you've got to hear with your heart. And of course, this underlines a very important biblical principle or a biblical idea. All through the Old Testament is that notion of hear. And of course, hear in Scripture means clearly far more than just let the sound waves enter and make a signal to communicate with your brain. In the Scripture, hear means everything from listen, to think about, to muse about, to meditate upon, to put into action, to study. It is this whole spectrum of meanings that have to do with being an eager, affectionate student. And I think that's why Jesus underlines a good and honest heart. They are eager to pay attention, to study, to muse on, and to constantly consider how they may put it in action in various contexts. So it's underlying an incredibly important biblical theme. And of course, Jesus says, when someone does that, when someone gives themselves to the teachings of Jesus with that kind of affection and intention and intensity, then they're immune to trials. They're immune to the ways that pleasure and the cares of this world can distract. They found something far better, and those things can't deter them from the path. And so Jesus is encouraging this good and honest heart that becomes an eager and a loving student of what Jesus teaches. Notice, too, that there's two other sections there, and I went ahead and read them, the thing about the lamp under the jar and then about who Jesus' family is, because both of them have to do with hearing. Notice with the lamp section, he says in verse 18, take care how you hear, right? So he's still on this question of hearing. For to the one who has, more will be given. In other words, if you take what God has taught you, take what Jesus teaches and hold on to it and do your best to put it into practice, he's going to give you more. If you have, you can have more. But if you don't really mean and intend to put into practice what he teaches, he's going to hold it back. Again, he's going to communicate with you in parables. There's a very interesting psalm, Psalm 97, and in verse 11 it says, light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. And I think this connects Jesus' image of a lamp to his image of sowing. The word of the kingdom, the word of Jesus, is light that he sows into our hearts. And if we'll hold on to it, it'll search us out and give us joy as we put it into practice. And then, of course, the next verse, when his family is looking for them, and he says, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So again, Jesus is drawing this circle, and the circle is his attentive students who mean to keep holding on to him and keep putting into practice the things he teaches them. And he says, that's my ultimate circle. Those are the ones who bear fruit. Those are the ones who, when the light shines, they let it come and they let it search them. Those are the ones who are more important to me ultimately than biological family, because their intention is to hear my Father's word, which is me, and to put that word into practice. So may we be hearers of the word. May we be those who hear with our heart, with good and honest hearts, and don't let go until we find his grace to put into practice the things he teaches and to find ourselves companions with him in his Father's house. Amen.